The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you have given me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I've just got a very simple message for you guys today, and it's really good news. Want to hear it? Yeah? So here it is. Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for you. Why do you think Jesus prays for you? I know. Because he wants good things for you. He wants you to live the abundant life. He wants you to have faith, strong faith, that no matter what comes, you continue to trust in God for life. And you don't turn toward to the things of the world that draw you from God. Jesus wants you to walk step by step with your Heavenly Father. And so Jesus prays for you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who also is also praying for us. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and he talks to God. That's what prayer is. It's us talking to God, or it's Jesus talking to God, and Jesus talks to God, asking God to give you his blessings, to pour out his goodness upon you, to lead you in the right way, and to bring you home safely to your home in heaven with Jesus. Isn't that pretty cool? Jesus prays for you. Remember that, okay? Let's pray. I'll pray, and then I'll invite you guys to say it after me. Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you for praying for us. You love us so much. You want goodness and blessings for our life. As we receive your blessings, help us to share those blessings with those around us. Amen. Thanks for coming up today, you guys. Remember, Jesus is praying for you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So where are y'all from? I'd like you to find somebody that's near you, probably not a spouse, because I'm hoping already you know where your spouse is from. But partner up with somebody that you don't know that well and just ask that question. So where are y'all from? And then take a moment to listen to the answer. So go ahead and do that. Find somebody. If you're listening on the radio this morning, that's a little kind of a hard activity to do, but again, we're glad that you are with us on the radio. Okay, if I could have your attention, very good. I hope you met a new friend this morning. And if a conversation isn't finished yet, I encourage you to finish it after worship. Follow that conversation up and learn more about each other. Because it's important. Where we are from is important. But we might ask the question, why is that so important? When I left the farm to go to college and seminary, I had on my keychain a cow tag, number 20. One of those old brass cow tags. Number 20 was a special animal in our herd. As a dairy farmer, for 13 years or so after high school, number 20 and the rest of those girls in the herd took care of my family. She produced over 100 pounds a day. But I kept that tag with me for a number of years because it reminded me of where I had come from. It reminded me of the values and the blessing of the place from which I had come. And so where we come from matters. But why is it so important? I've been wondering that very question for a while now in connection with John's gospel, because throughout John's gospel, the author of that gospel is really obsessed with the question of where Jesus comes from. Or, more proper English, from where did Jesus come? And I haven't been able to put my finger on why that is so important to the author of John's gospel until I've spent some time in chapter 17. In this section of John's gospel that we call the great high priestly prayer. This prayer that Jesus prays on behalf of his disciples. And it becomes clear to me in chapter 7 that it's so important where Jesus comes from, because when we know where Jesus comes from, we know where he's going. Right? When we know where Jesus comes from, then we also know where he is going. Jesus has been talked about as throughout the Gospels as being from a place like Nazareth or Bethlehem. And while that's true, that's not ultimately where he is from. When it's referred to him that he's from Nazareth or Bethlehem, those are pretty insignificant places in the land of Israel where Jesus is living and residing and growing up. If that's true that Jesus is from Bethlehem or Nazareth, in the minds of the people, those are insignificant places, so Jesus, his future, would also be insignificant. One from an insignificant place is going to an insignificant place. It's also been wondered about Jesus. Is he from Beelzebul or is he from the devil? And if so, if he is from the devil, if he is from the dark side, then he is going to the devil or to the dark side. And so this question of where Jesus is from is important because where he comes from is also where he's going. I have a colleague in ministry pastoring in Iowa who is originally from South Dakota, the land that he thinks of as the Holy Land. I'm here doing mission work, he says. And he insinuates that when his mission work is done, he'll be returning to the Holy Land of South Dakota. Where we're from is important because it reminds us and it tells us something about where we or others are going. See, the people know that the same is true about Jesus. They know that he is here on a mission. And when his mission is accomplished, he will be returning to that place from which he came. And so the question arises, can we or should we follow him now, and can we follow him then? This question is borne out in John chapter 14, just a few chapters earlier, when Jesus says, I go to prepare a dwelling place for you or an abiding place for you. And you know the place to where I am going. But Philip says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, what does he say? He says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, Jesus says. He says, come to me and I will get you there. I will get you to that place. I will get you to the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, follow me and I will get you to life. I will lead you to the abundant life that is found in the Father. I will lead you to the one who created you. I will lead you to the one who loves you. I will lead you to the one who seeks you. I will lead you to the one who longs to have you home with him in his heart and in his presence. You see, that is Jesus' goal. It's his goal to get us home, to get us to God, to give us eternal life, which is defined here in John's gospel as knowing the Father, the only true God, and me, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. And I go to prepare a place for you. A couple weeks ago when I preached on John 14, I said that when Jesus says, I go, it doesn't mean he goes immediately to heaven, but instead he goes to the cross. He goes to the cross to overcome our sin and our brokenness, and to open the way to a reconciliation with God's people, to God's heart. And it's in his cross, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension that Jesus prepares that way for us to come home, to abide with our loving Creator in the way that God intended it to be. And that means that you and I can reach the goal of eternal life here and now, before we die, before we go to heaven. And in that relationship with Father and Jesus, we can have an impact on the world around us today. And Jesus' destination becomes our destination. Where he is from, we are going. He opens up the way. And he leads us into that truth and that life. Friends, the world needs a church who knows where it's going. The hurting and broken, lost and condemned world needs a church who knows where it's going. A community that lives out its values, the values of our Heavenly Father's kingdom, those living out those values now. bringing hope and light and life to this world. Whether that's in wartime or peacetime, or times of hunger, or times of plenty, or times of poverty, or times of affluence, or times of life, or times of death, the world needs a church that knows where it's going. This congregation's mission statement is building community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. And if we build that community only for the sake of community, any organization can do that. But if we build that community in the name and the likeness of Jesus Christ, then we build that community for the sake of the world. We build that community for the sake of drawing others to the Father, to the one who gives life, and life abundantly. Believing that Jesus is from the Father means there is also means that there is a long history to look back on and to trust. Because when Jesus' destination, when his way becomes our destination and way, we can look back on the Father's history with the Father's people and see a God who brought people out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land, who liberated people from their captivity and freed them for life, who brought them out of those times of exile in Babylon and Persia and brought them home to the abundance of relationship with God. When Jesus' destination becomes ours, his story becomes ours, his past becomes ours, and as his past becomes ours, so does his future and his destination. And so I have two questions for you, two questions that I've had to ask myself this week. First of all, when people follow you, will they find Jesus? When people follow you, will they find Jesus? And secondly, are you living out the values of your Father and his kingdom? Questions I invite you to take home with you, to contemplate and to pray about. You see, the world needs a church who knows where it's going. The world needs a you who knows where you're going. The world needs an us who knows where we're going. The people needs a church who knows where it's going. The world needs a church that lives a life of bold and courageous mission. A mission that is meant to lead this world to God and to the abundance of life that can be found only in Him. In Romans 8, Paul asks this question: if God is for us, friends, who can be against us? He who gave up his only Son, will he not also with him give us everything else? And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the biblical writer says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So I ask you again, friends, where are y'all from? What if the next time someone asked you that question, you'd say something like this: I'm from a kingdom that's not of this world. And when my mission here is done, that's where I'm returning to.